mulching. That's Jay Fasci and Craig Hester. We'll share some information with you from those guys coming up in just a little bit. Our special guest on the program today is Miss Kim Woods. Kim is the livestock agent for Person and Granville County offices of the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service. Good morning, Kim. How you doing?
Good morning, Rob. I am doing well. Just trying to survive this heat like everybody else, and hopefully most everybody yesterday afternoon got some much needed rain. So I know I was here in the Roxburgh office, and it was quite a storm that came through town here. So glad to see that rain that came through yesterday. We had some at home. I don't think we had as much at home as we had here in town, but glad to get what we can get, and I know some folks that had been missing it got some yesterday, so hopefully it was looked like it was a pretty decent sized sale that moved over, so hopefully most everybody in the listening area got some rain yesterday because we certainly needed it.
Yeah, you know, the not really the odd, strange thing about it, they was talking about it late Tuesday, early Wednesday about we could be in for some heavy showers, and oh boy, did it rain. And I know down in front of the old Walmart, right there in front of the Person County Human Resources building, mm-hmm. you know, the boulevard flooded right there, but it mm-hmm. did pour down, and I'm not sure how much rain we had at home. I didn't check the gauge yesterday afternoon or this morning, but I know we've had a few showers lately, and it has really helped the crops out, and they, you know, seem to be, you know, looking better. And I know a lot of people in the process of harvesting the garden, and kind of a busy time of the year, and it's also hot as Hades, so to speak.
It is. It is indeed. So, yeah, I mean, with the showers that we've been getting, yeah, you're exactly right, Rob. Those crops are looking a little bit better, you know, depending on what stage of growth they were in. But most of them all look some better, a little bit more refreshed. And I know from the pasture and hayfield side of things, you know, the grasses have certainly greened up and are not crunchy when you walk across them, and maybe have lost a little bit of that brown color to them. Fescue, I mean, you know, as most of our pastures in this area are fescue, it's not going to do a whole lot of growing right now just because it does not like these temperatures. It's happy, kind of like I am, about 80 degrees or a little bit less than that. So it does not like it when we get into these low and mid-90s or even hotter than that. So it's just kind of sitting there and hanging on. But for those of y'all that might have some other grasses that have creeped into your pastures and hayfields, like crabgrass or Dallas grass, I know a lot of people think of those as weeds, and certainly if you're trying to put up a single type of hay, like fescue or orchard grass or something like that, then crabgrass and Dallas grass may not be really what you want to see out in your hayfields. But in a pasture situation, those couple of grasses, you know, if they kind of come in on their own, can certainly help you out this time of year when fescue is just not happy, does not want to grow. So the crabgrass and the Dallas grass can provide some grazing. We've had some rains. Those don't need a lot of rain to start growing and provide some forages for the animals out there. So, you know, learning to live with what you have is kind of a good thing, and those two can certainly provide some grazing. I will just touch on real quick, Dallas grass, which is kind of a wider bladed grass. We have some in our yard, and I tell you what, it still hangs on to dew at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. That's the craziest stuff, and it grows real quick. But Dallas grass can provide a lot of good grazing this time of year. But if you have that out in your pastures and a lot of it, you may want to go out and scope that out and see if you have a whole bunch of seed heads that are coming up from that Dallas grass. If animals consume those seed heads, there's a fungus that grows on those seed heads that can cause animals to have some neurologic signs. So they kind of act like they're drunk, so to speak. So they call it Dallas grass staggers. So if you can go out there and clip those seed heads out, just go out there with a bush hog and clip them out, or let the animals graze the Dallas grass before it puts up those seed heads, then you won't have any problems. Most of the time, if you see anything kind of stumbling around and they're grazing Dallas grass, if you can get the animals off the Dallas grass so they're not consuming those seed heads, they should, you know, turn around and be fine within a couple of days. So just it affects them neurologically. Usually the effects from the fungus is not enough to actually kill the animals, but sometimes because they're stumbling on their feet and not real sure-footed and kind of staggering around, they may end up getting themselves in a predicament that they can't get themselves out of. So if you see anything like that, just move them to another pasture that doesn't have any Dallas grass in it, and within a couple of days, those animals should be back to normal.
Kim, I wanted to ask, naturally, weeds grow when it's hot and dry, and a weed is a plant that is growing in a place that you don't want it to grow, more or less. Uh-huh. With it being as hot and dry as it has been before the rain, is it a good time to spray, you know, weed killer in hay fields and pasture lands?
So, you know our extension answer, Rob. It's going to be, it depends. So, it depends on what type of weed you're trying to control. Most of our winter to spring weeds have already died and faded out because it's gotten too hot for them. If there's some of those still out in your hay fields and you're trying to get rid of those, you're probably just kind of wasting your time and money because they're fixing to die anyhow, more than likely. If you've got some weeds that are more summer-type weeds, so this is their heyday, then I typically don't recommend spraying when we are in kind of a drought period, because if it's dry for our grasses, then it's dry for the weeds as well. Yeah, they may still have more green color to them. They may be growing a little bit more than our grasses, but they're still stressed. And so when those weeds are stressed, they're not going to take up that herbicide as effectively, and so you're probably not going to get as good a control if you spray when we're in a droughty situation. But now that we've had rains, yes, I would say if you've got a bunch of weeds out in your pasture and you're wanting to control those weeds, and this is still a good time where you can get a strong effect on that because they're not fixing to die anyhow, then I would say go ahead and try and spray now, since, you know, those weeds should not be as stressed because we've had rain. They're not reaching for moisture in the ground and whatnot, so now would potentially be a good time to spray. Some of the herbicides you need to really kind of watch. With some of the herbicides, we're getting probably close to being too hot because we can have some issues with that. So just read the label for whatever particular herbicide that you're looking at wanting to use. But from the weed standpoint, now that we've had some rains, they should be less stressed and will take up that herbicide more effectively.
Yeah, I know that they say a lot of times that when you spray, if it's over 85 degrees, that can cause, you know, the spray mist mm-hmm. to travel a long
yep.
ways.
Yep.
And also, if you are spraying more or less for a selective type of herbicide, that when it's hot, not only will it kill what you're wanting to kill, but it may kill some things that you necessarily don't want to kill.
Right. Yeah, so from the temperature standpoint, it may not be, I think they may be calling for some lower temperatures maybe late next week. But from the moisture standpoint, we're in a better situation to control the weeds now than we were, say, 3 weeks ago, because the weeds were really stressed 3 weeks ago or so when we were so dry. But temperature can have an effect as well. So from that standpoint, just double check the label of the herbicide that you're wanting to use. Check out the temperature forecast for the next several days, and also what's growing near you. Person County has a lot of broadleaf crops out there, tobacco and soybeans being the two major ones. And so you certainly don't want to spray your pasture or hay field and have some of that herbicide potentially drift to somebody else's row crop field that could be not super close to you. It doesn't have to be right beside you, but some of that can drift. So just be mindful of what's near you, what herbicide you're using, weather conditions, including temperature and wind, because all that can sometimes work to be a to end up being a problem.
We need to take a break to get a word on for Brush Saber Forestry Mulching and for Jason Acock Auctioneering. And after the break, Kim, if you don't mind, I may get you to try to maybe elaborate a little bit on some residual effects of herbicide.
Okay.
We'll do that right after these messages.
This is Jay Fashee with Brush Saber Forestry Mulching and Land Works here in Roxboro. Do you have unsightly brush that you want to get cleaned up but just don't have the time? How about those field borders or driveways that are growing out? Are you thinking of buying or building a house on a wooded lot? Give Brush Saber Forestry Mulching and Land Works a call at 336-503-2829 and let us do it for you. Deer hunters, let us clean up those hunting lanes and or cut new ones. We can do riding paths for ATVs or horseback trails. Craig Hester and Jay Fashee offer free estimates and are insured. No job too big or too small. Check out our Facebook page at Brush Saber Forestry Mulching and Land Works LLC to see before and after pictures. Brush Saber Forestry Mulching and Land Works LLC, 336-503-2829. Beautifying the Piedmont, one property at a time.
Jason Acock, Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces an online auction only. Bidding ends July 27th for Friedrichs Automotive, located 4510 Lewisburg Road in Raleigh. For terms, more information, to see photographs of items up for auction, and for preview dates, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. Bidding available through Proxy Bid for this online-only auction. Bidding will end Wednesday, July 27th. You can call Jason at 919-495-0285. Up for auction, a Dodge Wrecker, a Chevrolet Malibu, a 65 Ford Mustang, a 69 El Camino, a 62 Pontiac Catalina, boats and lots more, and a lot of shop-related equipment and tools. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. This online auction only, running until Wednesday, July 27th. Bidding available through Proxy Bid. Call Jason at 919-495-0285. And for more information, visit the website, jasonacockauctioneering.com. We do appreciate the support of Jason Acock Auctioneering and Brush Saber Forestry Mulching. And tell you what, I think Jay Fashee done a good job recording that ad. Were you able to hear the ad, Kim?
Yes, I did hear the ad, and yes, he did a great job. He might could get a job in radio sometime or another, Rob. You might need to look out.
Well, you know, I kind of like the way, you know, his voice when he talks. You know, if you didn't know him, you would say, that guy sounds like a farmer. That he is. So, but
yep. Exactly.
Anyway, if you've got some property that you want to reclaim, get in touch with him, and we guarantee you'll be happy with the results. And they can certainly get it into the condition and shape to where you can manage it, you know, yourself. Kim, a little bit about herbicides. I know we had talked a few weeks ago about is it Grazon? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, Grazon.
Grazon, okay.
Hyload is its technical name.
Well, now, I had someone to ask me, is it possible for the residual effect of the herbicide from the hay and also the pastures where livestock is fed in, could that, you know, be transmitted through the cattle into the beef that we eat? And I said, well, that's a good question, but I know you had said a few weeks ago with that Grazon that if you did spray with that, that you was not allowed to remove that hay off of your farm by selling it to another farm. But now if you had cows or livestock on another farm, you could take that hay and feed it to your own livestock, but you wasn't supposed to be selling it. But anyway, just my question is that something that, you know, can happen?
So your first question about it being in the meat, so that cannot happen. The second question about manure from the animals, yes, that can. So I did a little bit of research because this gets into some chemistry, and chemistry was not my strongest subject in school, so I had to go back and kind of familiarize myself with some of this. So there are about three different three different forage herbicides that we're kind of talking about that can have this residual. I'm going to spit out some fancy scientific names, but anyhow, picloram, clopyrrolid, and aminopyrrolid are kind of the active ingredients that are in, the three active ingredients that are in herbicides that can have a residual that can last for a while. And so those three herbicides, they target broadleaf plants. So plants like horse nettle, which we have on our farm a whole lot, spiny amaranth or pigweed, and that whole family of weeds, plantains would fall under the broadleaf weed section, lamb's quarter, trying to think of some others, henbit and chickweed are technically broadleaf weeds. Probably don't need to spend the money with these type of herbicides to kill those weeds. There's some other cheaper stuff that can work. But broadleaf weeds are weeds that are not grasses. And I know that sounds like a silly definition, but basically we have either broadleaf type weeds or we have grass type weeds. So I mentioned before the break, Dallas grass and crabgrass. So those are grasses. And again, if we're talking about a row crop farmer or in your vegetable garden or your flower garden or your hay field, you probably don't want crabgrass or Dallas grass to be coming up. And so those grasses would not be affected by these herbicides, but they would be considered a grass weed if that's not really what you want to plant. So anyhow, these chemistries, the clopyrrolid, the picloram, and the aminopyrrolid, they mimic a plant growth hormone, and this is what I learned yesterday. They mimic a plant growth hormone called auxin. And so it causes rapid and uncontrollable growth, and so basically the plant grows itself to death. Grasses are tolerant to this herbicide, so fescue, orchard grass, crabgrass, Dallas grass, sorghum Sudan grasses, Johnson grass, they would not be affected by these herbicides because they can metabolize the molecule and it just doesn't affect them. The broadleaf plants can't metabolize the molecule, and so therefore they end up having these effects where basically it just grows itself to death. Some of the symptoms are like curled up leaves, and usually it's the youngest leaves that you'll see kind of curled up, almost like a cup-like symptom. You may have kind of strange stem growth. So that's just kind of how it affects those types of plants. So, again, this particular process is unique. These herbicides target a process that's unique to plants. So humans and animals don't have this same process. So that's why the herbicide is not an issue for those livestock species that are growing out there. So technically, the label on, especially the aminopyrrolid, that's the one that I'm most familiar with, it technically says that you don't have to remove your animals from the pasture before spraying it. Now, personally, I always recommend that if you can move them, you know, and leave them off of that pasture that's been sprayed for a couple of days, then that's probably best. But according to the label, you don't have to. The labels do typically have a haying restriction, so you have to wait so many days before you cut the grass for hay. And the reason for that difference is because if you're mowing the hay, you're going out there and you're going to mow that whole field, so every leaf of every plant more than likely is going to be cut to about 4 inches. Whereas with the animals, they're going to spot graze and probably not take every leaf off of every plant to that same, you know, 4-inch height or whatever. But if you go out there and mow it, you're removing all that leaf area where that herbicide was just applied. And so there may not be enough time for that herbicide to make its way all the way through the leaf and down through the roots where it has to work. So the time limit between spraying the herbicide and mowing the hay field for hay or going out there and clipping it with the bush hog or whatnot is not because it may cause problems to the animals, but we're trying to make sure the herbicide has time to work and do its job. So these herbicides can stay active in the soil for a pretty good amount of time, and I don't think they really have a great answer as to how long it will stay somewhat active. It will lose some efficacy, but it may have enough residual effect to affect broadleaf plants for a while. And that depends on which broadleaf plant it is, weather conditions, microbes in the soil, all sorts of things can affect how long it may be active in the soil. When animals consume the forages out in the pasture that have been sprayed with this herbicide, again, it passes through their digestive tract and it does not harm or hurt or cause any ill effects to them whatsoever. But the leaf tissue is broken down and that herbicide is still kind of on the leaf tissue, and then therefore it's passed through their digestive system and it's in their manure and the urine. So that because that herbicide is still kind of present in some form in their manure and urine, it can have some effect on broadleaf weeds or plants that are in that pasture, which for some people may be a good thing because you may actually get some other broadleaf weeds that you don't want killed by having your animals out there that have consumed a hay or eating the grass off of a forage that's been sprayed by this. But if you have clover out there and you want to keep that clover, then it's not a great thing because that clover may be affected. It also, the manure and urine, and so any bedding, if we're talking about like horse stall clean out, that herbicide is still present in the manure and the urine and the bedding. And even if it's composted, it can still be present. And so there's been some issues in the past where, like, horse compost material has been used to go around rose bushes or tomato plants or whatever, and that herbicide is still there. and has killed or negatively affected some of those broadleaf type plants. So, you know, it's, I guess it depends on what side of the fence you're on. We have cattle, horse nettle is a huge weed problem that we have on our farm, and aminopyralid is a great herbicide to kill horse nettle. So we use that in our pastures a whole lot, but we cannot use it in our hay field because according to the label, the hay that's been produced after being sprayed with the aminopyralid herbicide cannot, it says cannot be removed from the farm. But if you're feeding it to your own animals on another farm that you manage and lease and whatnot, then that's fine. But basically it's saying that you can't sell it because I guess there have been some issues where there have been some, you know, large tomato crops lost because composted manure or horse stall cleanouts were used around those tomato plants or roses or whatnot. So it has its place. It is a good herbicide to use in pastures and hay fields if you're going to use the hay yourself. It's safe to animals. There's no issues for people to consume animals that may have been fed either a grass or a hay that had these herbicides sprayed on it. The issue comes with that manure and urine and possibly using that around some of these plants that are extremely sensitive. And some of those, you know, include, like I mentioned, tomatoes. Tomatoes are super sensitive to these herbicides. Roses are, potatoes, peppers, broccoli, and cauliflower, and then like peas and beans. So again, things that have that broad leaf or what's more susceptible. So it's interesting that I guess it was maybe 2 years ago, I was talking with the forage weed specialist from the University of Tennessee about how to control some sort of broadleaf weed in a hay field. And so he's in Tennessee, so one state to the west. And he said, oh, just use an aminopyralid product. That's a great herbicide to get rid of that product. And I said, we legally cannot use that product on hay fields in North Carolina if that hay is going to be sold. And he was completely shocked because apparently all the states surrounding us do not have that label for the aminopyralid product. So North Carolina is the only state in the, I'm not going to say the southeast, but I know Tennessee, Georgia, and I'm pretty sure Virginia and South Carolina all have a different label for the product in their state, indicating that if you sprayed a hay field with an aminopyralid product, you could sell that. I'm hoping that at some point the company may change that label where we have that option here in North Carolina because it is a good product. It has to be used correctly and it has to be managed correctly, and information has to be passed from seller to buyer of those hay products so that the buyer is aware that the product was sprayed with this and they know that they don't need to use the horse clean out around their roses or tomatoes or whatnot. But just, you know, 5 minutes of having a conversation and explaining and some education can go a long ways to make everybody understand what is going on and how best to manage it. So that was a lot of words, a lot of science, but hopefully it made some sense.
Absolutely. And one thing also, if it's people that is an organic gardener and they may want to use, you know, horse manure or cow manure, you know, in their flower beds and in their garden, you know, beds, that is one thing that could cause you a lot of problems, to say the least.
Exactly. And so that just goes back to, you know, if you're looking for, you know, manure, horse manure from a local barn or whatever, ask them, you know, because again, if you're trying to produce your crops or want to follow organic practices or certainly if you are certified organic, you need to find out what you're buying. You know, ask the questions about what's been used herbicide-wise so that you can make sure that you keep doing what you want to do or keep maintaining that certification if you have an organic certification.
Some good advice. Kim, we need to get a break on, but before we do that, here it is, hot. And, you know, fortunately, most of us can go inside and cool off after working outside or just being outside. But shade is really beneficial for livestock and fresh water. Let them have all the water they want this time of the year. It's really essential, correct?
Absolutely. Just like we need to hydrate ourselves so that we don't end up with heat stress or heat exhaustion, our animals need access to water and shade. If they have access to those things, they'll go find it when they need it. You know, I would just say for those people that may have automatic waterers, take a couple extra minutes and make sure there's really water there. You know, if you've got like ball waterers or the ball's up and floating, if you don't have a way from seeing that from, you know, your house or whatever, walk out there. Make sure there truly is water in those automatic waterers. And shade or shelter is important. You know, if you've got horses that are in the barn or animals of some sort that kind of come up to a barn, maybe even think about putting a fan up to at least blow some air across them. That can help with the heat. It can also help with flies as well. You know, certainly try not to exercise them, or in the case of some of these animals that we manage, like cattle and goats and sheep, don't work them when it's this hot, you know, or if you have to, super early in the morning so that they're not getting overheated, you're not getting overheated. Try not to keep them confined in too small of a spaces. Let them spread out so they can have more air movement through them. And try not to haul them when it's this hot, unless, again, it's super early in the morning so that they're not in that trailer, you know, when it's 95 degrees. Or just make sure you don't have to stop anywhere. Go ahead and fill up. Make sure you've got everything you need so that you don't have to stop, because it's just that's just a metal box going down the road. So it's going to be super hot if you've got a whole livestock. One other thing with the waterers, I was at home the other day and we had a little storm pop through and the electricity blinked. So, you know, if you've got automatic waterers, just think about what you're going to do if your power goes out for, you know, 3 or 4 hours. Do you have another tank that you can get out in the pasture real quick and pull a water hose to it, or just a generator to get everything back up and running, or just, you know, what are you going to do for those animals that are dependent on that water if you happen to lose power and you don't have your well going? So just like us, they need shade and water, and the humidity affects them as well. I know you've got to go to a commercial, but I may try and put this on our website. But it's a temperature and humidity chart. And so it looks at the temperature, the air temperature, and the relative humidity. And then we've got, that gives you kind of a temperature humidity index. And we've got normal zones, alert, danger, and emergency zones. So, you know, when it's, and I don't even know what their humidity is that they're calling for today. But, see, I think it's supposed to be, what, 92 today? Is that somewhere around?
That's right. The weather, National Weather Service is saying 93.
Okay.
And, you know, the dew point right now is 68%, and it's 82 degrees. So, it's humid.
Yeah. So at 92 degrees, if we had a relative humidity of 55%, that would put us in the emergency zone. So, and this time of year, it's not too uncommon for us to get above 55% relative humidity. So, just, you know, humidity affects us. It affects them as well. So just think about what you're doing. Try and hold off on any activities that can cause them or you to get overheated. Plenty of water. shade if at all possible, and maybe even think about some fans or moving some air if that's an option on your operation.
Also, one other thing, if you have pets, whether it's dogs or cats, make sure that they have plenty of fresh drinking water as well.
Maybe even put something outside for, you know, other animals.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly
birds,
right.
Stray cats, or whatever the case may be, they need something too.
We all love fresh water, to say the
Absolutely.
Least. We're going to take a break, get a word on for T.G. Brooks and Jason Acock Auctioneering. And when we come back, maybe you can talk a little bit about the Meat Bird Workshop that's coming up. The Master Gardeners training is going to be coming up starting August 11th. And then you've got some information you want to pass along about a website for horse owners. But we'll take care of all that right after these messages.
We have had a good season for growing this year, and now we are reaping the harvest. T.G. Brooks Company is happy so many customers shopped for garden, flowers, and vegetables at their store. During these warm months ahead, be sure to keep everything green, and they can handle your watering needs, too. Hose, sprinklers, sprayers, and water hose parts. They have your insecticides and fungicide chemicals for grass protection and bug protection for home pest control. They have mulch by the scoop or by the bag. They will load up your truck, your trailer, and they have the bagged ones. They'll load those up in your car or your van for you, and off you go. Need tools? They have them for the homeowner and the commercial landscaper. Everybody gets treated with the same courtesy. They can set up delivery of what you need. If you need tools to work in the yard, they have hoes, diggers, choppers, and these will make work easier. We should mention fall lawn seeding. It will be time before you know it. Get advice from T.G. Brooks Company on your seeding. Always remember they have Bartlett Animal Feed, dog kennels, and famous Pride dog food. Inside the store, Lodge cookware and Case pocket knives. They can arrange what you need at T.G. Brooks Company to help you with your lawn, your garden, and inside the house, too. Make your way over to 411 Helena Mariah Road in Timberlake. Phone them at 364-2428. As always, T.G. Brooks Company has proudly served the homeowner, the farmer, and those in construction since way back in 1936. They welcome folks from all over Person County, Rougemont, Northern Durham, and, of course, Southern Person County.
Jason Acock Auctioneering, NCAL 6679, announces an online auction only. Bidding ends July 27th for Friedrichs Automotive, located 4510 Lewisburg Road in Raleigh. For terms, more information, to see photographs of items up for auction, and for preview dates, log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. Bidding available through proxy bid for this online-only auction. Bidding will end Wednesday, July 27th. You can call Jason at 919-495-0285. Up for auction, a Dodge Wrecker, a Chevrolet Malibu, a 65 Ford Mustang, a 69 El Camino, a 62 Pontiac Catalina, boats and lots more, and a lot of shop-related equipment and tools. Log on to jasonacockauctioneering.com. This online auction only, running until Wednesday, July 27th. Bidding available through proxy bid. Call Jason at 919-495-0285. And for more information, visit the website jasonacockauctioneering.com. Kim Woods is our guest today, and we do appreciate the support of T.G. Brooks Company and Jason Acock Auctioneering. Kim, Johnny Coley is going to be helping out this year with the Master Gardener training. Classes will start August 11th, and the classes will be Thursdays, between August 11th and December the 15th, 9 a.m. till noon. The classes will be held at the Berea Volunteer Fire Department in Berea. The cost is $150, $150 for an individual, $250 for a couple. Now, you will receive a textbook. Now, if you kind of go in as a couple, you will have one textbook to share between the two of you. But this Master Gardener's training is something that is really, you know, beneficial to the people that take it, and they are just asked to give back, you know, in return of volunteering their time and knowledge to help out other people.
Yeah, so it sounds like, and it is a little bit of a time commitment. I mean, every Thursday from August 11th to December 15th, I think you can miss one or two classes, but they cover different topics each class. Some of those include soil and plant nutrients, composting, botany, insects, weeds, diagnostics, so trying to figure out what's going on, native plants, small fruits, vegetable garden, landscape design. And that's not a comprehensive list, just a few that I pulled off of the flyer. So you'll learn a lot yourself if you're already an avid gardener. You'll learn a whole lot to be able to use on your own property, your home, or whatnot. There is a little bit of a time commitment. They do ask that you, like Rob said, give back and help out. I know the Master Gardeners here, it's both Person and Granville County together as one group. They had a plant sale over in Granville County a few weeks back for an event that was going on over there. They usually organize a wreath-making workshop. I forget when it usually is, maybe late November or early December, so that if you want to make not a live wreath because it's eventually going to die, but live material wreath, they have some things set up in the auditorium here in our building is where they've had it in the past to be able to do that. So they do some really neat things. I think some of them have helped out with some of our 4-H Summer Fun events in the past. So, you know, just passing on that knowledge that you get from going through the class to some others. And so a lot of times when you have to teach something, it kind of reinforces it to you, and you maintain that and retain that information a little bit better. So it is lots of information to take in. A little bit of a time commitment, a little bit of a financial commitment, but I think if you're an avid gardener, it's something you should really check into. And again, if you have more questions, you can get up with Johnny. The number here at the Person County office is 336-599-1195. The Granville office is 919-603-1350. Or you could email Johnny_Coley@ncsu.edu, but he could certainly answer any more detailed questions that you might have. And I mean, you get to make a whole bunch of great friends too. So if you're a gardener, think about it, ask some more questions, but maybe go ahead and plan on trying to sign up for that session of classes.
Again, classes will start on Thursday, August 11th, and run through December the 15th. From 9 in the morning until 12 noon. Kim, tell us a little bit about this meat bird workshop.
Yeah, so a colleague of mine and some folks, other folks, and then A&T State University, they're going to have a meat bird production workshop for beginners. So if you're thinking about starting to raise meat birds, to be able to sell poultry meat products, not eggs, this is the meat, then you may want to consider going to this workshop. It's going to be August 25th, and I honestly don't know, that is a Thursday. So Thursday, August 25th, from 9 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon, it's going to be at the North Carolina A&T State University Farm Pavilion, which is kind of on the east side of Greensboro. So it's pretty easy to get to. You don't have to go through Greensboro to get to it. The cost is $25, but that will include lunch and some of the topics that are going to be covered: establishing your operation, biosecurity and flock health, best management practices, costs, marketing, processing, certification, label claims, and more. So, again, it's basically an all-day event, 9 a.m. to 2:30 in the afternoon on Thursday, August 25th. I do have something on our website with that information. There's a link that you can click on from our website to go to Eventbrite to register for that class. Or certainly if you have more questions, you can call me and I'll do my best to answer those questions that you have. But again, August 25th, 9 a.m. to 2:30 at the A&T State University Farm Pavilion in Greensboro. $25 includes lunch, and this is geared towards people that are wanting to get into meat bird production or maybe just getting started into that, and so covering some of those beginning basics that you may need to know to start and continue with your operation.
Now, if you would, give us a little bit of information about the website you was talking about that horse owners may be interested in hearing about.
Okay. Well, something just happened to my computer.
Oh, boy.
Okay, hang on. let me go find it another way. Oh, my gosh. Don't you just love technology?
Well, you know, They can kind of, you know, just make you change your direction at the least of a moment, more or less, without any notice or anything.
But, exactly. So yeah, I had it kind of opened up but minimized down here at the bottom of my screen so I could pull it up real quick, and now I don't know what's happened. For anybody that knows me knows that it's not unusual for technology to throw me all kinds of crazy loops. But, okay, here we go. I have found it. All right. So it's the Equine Disease Communication Center. So that's a big, long, fancy title. So it notifies the horse industry about threats of infectious diseases in North Carolina, excuse me, in North America. So it's an initiative that's industry-driven, and it's designed to report infectious and vector-borne diseases that are learned about, received from the state veterinarian, the state animal health official, or an attending veterinarian, and are confirmed and formed, and those are confirmed, and then it's formed into comprehensive alerts. So you can go onto the website and sign up to get alerts that something is happening in your area, or you can go to the website and look and see if there's anything going on in an area that you're thinking about traveling to with your horse. So there's real-time information on infectious disease alerts, quarantines, and regulations to help horse owners keep their animals safe and healthy. And it can also determine if you should travel to a certain area with your horse. So if there's like a big outbreak of a disease, you may decide that you don't want to take your horse there. Alerts are posted on the EDCC Outbreak Alerts page, social media, and are sent out to subscribers by email. So, again, you can go sign up, and they'll send you an email with something is going on. So, here's the website, and it's going to be in extension notes for next week, so y'all can read it next week if you can't take everything down that I'm saying today. So, the website is HTTPS, actually just do www.equinediseasecc.org. So equinediseasecc.org.
That's pretty easy to remember.
Yeah, pretty easy. So, yeah, so it's called the Equine Disease Communication Center. So it's the website is just shortened to equinediseasecc. So, again, you can go on there, sign up, and they'll send you emails when something's going on. And, you know, I'm assuming you go on there and indicate where you live or what areas you're interested in and want to be notified about. Or, again, if you're going to an area, you can look and see if there's anything going on in that area that you need to be aware of. So, anyhow, I learned about that yesterday, so I thought it was kind of neat that they have that out there so people can be aware of what's in the area they are or what's in the area that they may be going to.
Well, Kim, we certainly appreciate all of the information that you passed along to us today, and we feel like that a lot of it people can use and learn from and make things a lot better for themselves. We certainly hope so. Yep. Want to say special thanks to T.G. Brooks Company, Brush Sabre Forestry Mulching, and Jason Aycock Auctioneering. And certainly we want to say a big thank you to the North Carolina Cooperative Extension Service, to all of the agents for the job that they do to help make our lives more productive and a lot less easier. Kim, thank you for taking out some time on this hot Friday to spend some time with us. And we look forward to having you back again with us in the very near future.
Right. Appreciate all you do for us and getting all this information out to everybody, Rob. We enjoy the working relationship we have. So thank you as well.